Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Blacksmithing Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to this latest episode. I'm very pleased to say, as you can see, we have a lovely guest, friend of the pod, Jordan Sanford. How are you doing, Jordan?
I'm good. So happy to be back with you guys.
Well, we're happy to have you on. So thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, guys, this is a special episode. So we're basically going to be catching up with Jordan. Because she's got a lot going on, as she told us off air, and yeah, just basically catching up with her and, you know, finding out about the work she's been doing with the USTA and this really exciting show that some of you may be familiar with in the US, not maybe in the UK. So it's the All American Homecoming, which I believe it's on its second season.
It just started its second season. I believe the first episode came out on October 10th. So just kicked off the second season, but it's on the CW.
Okay. So if you can talk a bit about the show and, like, yeah, your involvement in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So All American Homecoming is essentially a spinoff of All American, which is a football show. And it's kind of more of a lifestyle. It follows this team captain of a football team throughout his career in high school. And one of the main characters from that show essentially got her own show, which is the spinoff of All American Homecoming. And she's a tennis athlete and is pretty good. And if you've watched the first season, she goes through a lot. She's pregnant and ends up giving up the baby to, you know, go on to college, play college tennis. That was one of her dreams. So has to give up the baby in order to do so and chase her dreams of, you know, college tennis and maybe pro tennis eventually. But in the show, if you do end up watching, there's a lot of drama on and off the court, of course. But my role, I actually have two roles. So I'm a body double for the team captain, Thea, and she's kind of this, like, really, excuse my language, but, like, bitchy, you know, tennis player.
We swear all the time on this, so don't worry, you can swear, it's fine.
Very stereotypical, you know, tennis player. She thinks that she's all that. She is the team captain at the college that the main character goes to play for. So I body double for her. And then I'm also the technical advisor for the show.
Oh, wow.
So I help with all of the script, any tennis dialogue. I make sure that it's, you know, good to go. And it's, you know, they're making the proper use of the dialogue. And then with any of the tennis scenes as well. So as far as drills, what that looks like and how that's being presented, I'm kind of the technical expert on set. Nice. As well.
How did that, like, come about, like, in terms of that opportunity for you? Like, because I take it this is your first kind of role, like, in a TV production.
It is for sure. Actually, it happened a couple years ago when they shot the pilot. Someone reached out and they found me on Instagram and they're like, you know, we're looking for kind of like background actors for the show, people that can play tennis as well. And at that time, it was just a pilot. So it hadn't even gotten picked up by the network or anything. So they were just shooting one episode of it, of what it would look like, basically. And I was background that day. And then they pulled me over to the side and they were like, can we just, you know, take a few photos of you? So they took a few photos. And then later on that same day, they came back up to me and they're like, we're going to send you down to hair and makeup to be a body double essentially for the team captain, because they're like, this is perfect, you know. It was a perfect match. And the main actress, the team captain, she can play some tennis as well. She's actually not bad at all. But it's always nice to, you know, be able to give the actors a break here and there. And you know, for some of the things as well, it's like a little difficult. So whenever, you know, you can actually have a tennis player out there, it's better. It just makes it even better. So yeah, so that day they had me do the body doubling, they loved it, and then the show got picked up and the rest is kind of history. I just started doing the body doubling from then on out, And then it turned into more for the second season, which is now, you know, the technical directing and all that.
Did you have to like keep things under wraps, or were you able to like talk freely about, you know, whilst you were kind of in filming, like, or did you have to like keep things quiet?
As far as like, you know, what the story concepts are and things, they were definitely like no photos allowed on set. You could not take any photos at all during the whole first season, just because no one knew what the, you know, courts were going to look like or any of the sets yet. Now it's much more lenient with photos and things, since people have seen the first season and they know what the courts look like, all that good stuff. But during the opening, it was no photos. You can't talk about anything. You can't post anything until the show premiered. So that was, yeah, that was last year for season one.
I also like the fact that it's like, it touches on kind of real life issues as well. You did touch earlier about the opening with, you know, how the main character, she's gone through pregnancy and having to give up, you know, her baby and stuff. Like,
yeah,
how important do you think that kind of is in terms of in TV and like kind of, you know, obviously it's not real life, but it's a reflection of real life. Like, do you feel that's important to kind of make sure that's kind of included?
Yeah, you know, I think it's so important. I think it's so important, especially for women, young women, to see that, you know, things are still possible. Their dreams are still possible, no matter, you know, what the obstacle might be. But I think what also makes this show so special is that it is a Black university. It's a historically Black university that she wants to go to, and she ends up, you know, going to college there. And I think that's so important, because you just don't see it still in tennis, you know, that much color and, you know, people actually, you know, going after their dreams on the tennis court. Yeah. It's still not there. So I think it's really great for the sport as a whole, and especially Black players as well.
I think for even like the community itself, because a lot of times when you have those type of shows where it's like, oh, young people in a school, it's always like the same thing of like, you know, like, but the things that we're going through in terms of like race, a bit like just like Dear White People on Netflix. Like, I feel like a lot of the shows are just like yeah. that. So it's nice to have something a little bit more different, especially in terms of the sport itself, because, you know, they like talking about tennis being a white sport. So I remember I did see the trailer last year. I just did not realize that you were that involved. I thought you just wrote a piece and posted it on your Instagram. I was like, oh, this is cool, I'll check this out. But obviously it's not been available in the UK.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's nice seeing that you are that involved. Did you ever think that's something that you actually be doing like in your career, or was it a thing where it just came up and you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just do it.
Right. I think yes and no. But I did study film growing up, and also that was my minor in college too, was film, digital media. So I did have that background as well. And then growing up in LA too, it's just kind of something that's always around you. You can't escape it even if you want to. So, and then on top of that, you know, I do like telling stories. So it does seem like, you know, something out of left field, but looking at the big picture for me, it does make sense that this, you know, would kind of come up and be something that I would end up doing.
Yeah. And you go off, well, you just said as well, like you played college tennis yourself. So how does like the experience kind of match up to your experience of college tennis? Like, yeah. Obviously, like, one's reality, one's not, but yeah,
exactly.
Are there similarities? Like, can you see similarities there?
Yeah, there's definitely some similarities, especially with some of the other teams that they face and they play against. And there's that, you know, stereotypical player that, you know, again, that thinks that she's the best, the team captain, which is, it's true. It is so true. You can get stuck on a team like that where that is the case. I did experience that during my time at
I was just about to ask, did you, are you talking, the way she's talking passionately about that, she's like, ah, oh, yeah, I remember her.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of one, though, there were actually three. There were three seniors, yeah. And I was with a group of freshmen, and I was a sophomore because I transferred from Maryland, and I essentially got treated like a freshman.
Yeah. So that was just, yeah. It was like hitting you. You were getting like little flashbacks as you were on set, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of that same kind of dynamic between players and, you know, opponents and things is very, very similar. But at the same time, it is dramatic, you know, a lot of things maybe wouldn't happen, but, you know, for the sake of TV, you know, they want to make it a little bit bigger than it would actually be. Yeah. But yeah, it's overall, I would say there's similarities.
What's been the reception like stateside in terms of people taken to the show? Like, are people like invested in it? They're watching and like, yeah, what's the reaction?
People love the drama. People love it because of that reason alone. And of course, seeing sports that you normally wouldn't. So it's in this All-American Homecoming, it's not only tennis, but it's also baseball as well. Okay. Yeah, so there is a little bit of that mixture and sports that you normally don't see getting that much representation, especially tennis. But I think it's been really, really good so far. And that's why we're into the second season.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I feel like it's just great seeing that tennis is just getting that exposure in that aspect. I mean, you have the Serena movie, the Serena and Venus's movie with King Richard. Yeah. You have, there's Zendaya that's working on a movie right now and she's a tennis player or whatnot. I don't know what it's about, but that's going to be the next big thing. And then you have, you know, your show as well. So it's nice to see that. And then you also have Netflix that are have been wandering around and following the players around this year. So
yes, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's honestly such a plus. Like, it's just so great to see that. And, you know, it helps getting a lot of people into the sport, but most importantly, Black people, because everything that I've mentioned are literally the places where Black people are, and it's going to make them, you know. And it's great because a lot of times people are a bit scared because you have, you know, the GOATs that are retiring. I mean, we literally lost Serena and Federer to like back to back, and they've gone and enjoying their retirement as we're right now.
Right.
So it's nice that, you know, we're still trying to get the people interested. Even with our platform, it makes a difference as well. It must be really cool to be literally part of that aspect as well.
It is for sure. Yeah. And you can see it even here in LA too, just recreationally, how much, you know, people are picking up the sport. It's kind of crazy. Even if you go back to 2019 before the pandemic and you look at it now, it's completely different. And you're just seeing everyone from all different backgrounds playing the sport now, which is really cool.
No, I love that. More about the technical side of it. So like, talk to us about that in terms of what you do with the drills and stuff. Like, so are you kind of like almost being a coach as well as being the body double? Like,
Well, the good thing is, I don't want to really give too much away, but they is not used too much in second season. So I'm doing a lot more of the technical advising this time around, which is good. But every week we sit down, we have a concept meeting, and that's basically to go over the script. And then that's where, you know, issues are addressed or we make little tweaks to it. And from there, then following week we would go on set. And by that point too, like all of the drills have been presented. And you kind of have to think about the drills that are also being played in the background. Those things, you know, normally you don't think about it when you're watching TV, but you know, if it's zeroed in on an actor, you know, the shot, but you can still see the players playing in the background. I'm doing all of that as well, just to make it look as real as possible and as authentic as possible. But, and then also point structure as well. That's all choreographed as well.
Wow.
So nothing is just like, oh, just go out there and rally and let's see what happens.
And you literally do all of that on your own, basically. Like, you're the one.
Yes. Yeah. And of course it needs to be approved too by the director and all that. But me and probably a couple others on the team as well too.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer doing the technical side, or are you like more into the body acting or the body doubling?
I would definitely say the technical advising is more in my wheelhouse, just because I do like contributing to the script and I am a storyteller. So being able to touch that part of it has been, you know, just so cool and so rewarding for me. But nothing against the body doubling too, because that's fun as well. But
so does your name come up twice then in the credits, like when they're rolling the credits?
We'll see what happens. I haven't actually watched the first episode, so okay. I gotta check that out maybe tonight, but we'll see.
We're gonna take a picture of this
twice.
Yes, that's my name right there.
But no, that's amazing, Jordan. I'm very excited to watch it, and I'm just glad that a show like that exists, because like you said, you don't have, you know, talking from a Black perspective, there aren't many shows out there kind of showing, you know, that kind of side of things. And I do think as well, and I don't know much about like the collegiate system in America, obviously, but just from what I do know, very few like Black colleges play tennis or focus on tennis anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, they definitely all have tennis teams, but it is such a huge, you know, drop off between historical Black colleges to, you know, other Division I schools.
Yeah,
the level is just kind of night and day there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most people are also most Black players that are playing at a certain level will most likely, you know, go to a Division I school, because it's, you know, have higher status, that the players are going to be better, the competition is overall better. But I like that this series is kind of like shining a light on historically Black colleges as well, and, you know, saying like this is where it's at, like this is where you should want to play and where we should play, you know.
Because I was going to say, I follow like basketball, well, NBA, and like college basketball too. And I know this was a discussion maybe 2 or 3 years ago about HBCUs, in saying that like basically more needs to be done to make sure like top prospects go to these HBCUs instead of going to like the D1 schools. Like, do you see that ever changing? Or like, do you think that's just something we're not really going to see anytime soon?
I mean, I would love to see it change, but that's something that is just, I can't forecast. Yeah. I would love to see that, you know, become much better than it is right now, because right now I really don't see it, just because the disparity is huge right now. Yeah. The gap is kind of, it's overwhelmingly big, but if we could fix that problem somehow, I don't know how that would happen, but it would be great, because there's just so much history and rooted in these schools, and it's just not shining its potential on it right now. So it's kind of unfortunate, but shows like this hopefully will contribute to something a little bit better.
No, definitely, well said. About your work now with the USTA, like, so yeah, if you can tell us what you've been doing with the USTA and like when that all started, and exactly what you're doing with them.
So I started their first Instagram and their first Facebook. They have never had any social media presence at all.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, which so the is USTA kind of... Foundation Instagram right that's on right now. That's you. That's
that yes, yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so please make sure you like, follow, all of that good stuff, please. Yeah. And so this is the very first social accounts for them. It's only been the USTA so far. And a lot of people, I feel like, don't even know that the foundation exists.
Mm.
You know, they're always like, what is the foundation? What exactly do they do? And there's so many NJTLs. There's probably like over 200 NJTL chapters, which essentially give back to their own communities. So that could be anywhere from, you know, here in LA to Florida, New York, they're all across the country, and they're giving back to their communities by helping under-resourced kids. And a lot of them are Black kids as well that just don't have the means to have an education, have a proper education, and definitely not learn the sport of tennis. Wow. And all of these NJTLs around the country are helping change that narrative. which is super cool.
Incredible. Yeah. So but when did you come on board with them?
It's been a few months now, since April.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. I take it, was it quite busy like during, I say the US Open, but obviously it's an all year round like operation, obviously. But yeah, have there been periods more busy than others or?
Oh, definitely the US Open is, that's the tournament for us, for obvious reasons.
Of course. Yeah. Nice to have we did have some US success as well, you know, France is going quite deep.
Oh my gosh, that was a little heartbreaking for me, but he did do so well. It was exciting to watch.
Were you on site like during the US Open or were you?
I wasn't on site, I was remote. And I was also, which was kind of a hectic time for me, but I was also helping the USTA side of things. So reporting on the matches, using their platform as well. So I was splitting my time between the foundation and the USTA. During that tournament.
Like three different jobs or two different jobs at one time. Like that's incredible.
Listen, yeah, it was a crazy few weeks.
Make some money.
Indeed.
Exactly.
Inflation going crazy. So, you know,
I know.
Respect it. I respect
that
it.
That is so true.
Gotta do what you gotta do. At least you're actually, the thing is, at least you're doing something that you like and it's all like, you know, with tennis and everything, like even with the show, with the USTA and, you know, so at least that's one great thing, because there's some people who are doing 3-4 jobs and they're not enjoying just 3-4 jobs.
True.
So,
Eugene,
Eugene, you're chuckling there.
Very true. Very true. No, I love my job now. Listen, not as but yeah, it's not always been the case. Definitely not.
Yeah, 100%.
It is so true. I was just talking to a couple of my friends and just hearing, you know, what they're going through with their jobs and the positions that they're in. I feel so fortunate to be able to contribute to the sport in some capacity. And I'm just trying to touch it in as many places as I can and help the sport in any way possible.
Yeah, it must be quite rewarding as well to kind of be or to see things at that level in terms of like the foundation level, if you can talk a bit about that and how it kind of differs to anything you've done like in the past.
Yeah, I mean, so far it's been really rewarding, the team working with them. I mean, just the most amazing and inspiring team to work with, because they're just not selfish at all. They just want the best for these kids, and all of the events that they're doing constantly every week, you know, and trying to fundraise and, you know, bring more awareness and attention. So finally having this social presence is really huge for us, because we're able to get across that message and actually tell people, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it and why they should care, which I feel like a lot of people in the tennis community, like I said, just didn't even know that the foundation existed. So if we can just keep telling that story and keep pushing that, then more and more kids can go out there and serve up some dreams. So that's the whole goal.
Besides your project, everything is going on, I do want to get your input. What did you think of like the season so far this year, like tennis, that's been going on?
Oh, I think it's been so good for American players in general.
Yeah,
really, really cool to see. And one that stands out is Goff, Coco, and Francis. They had such great seasons, especially at the Open too. And even Goff at Roland Garros too, making it to the finals there. Yes. So it's been an amazing season for them both. But
are you still rooting very hard for Felix? Because I know that's always your number one pick. Are you still?
I wasn't gonna go there today.
He just won his match in
He did
Florence. Okay. So he's through the semi-finals over there, which is good.
Let's go.
Every time Felix is doing well, I'm always thinking of Jordan. I'm like, Jordan is somewhere.
I know. I am. I'll always be a fan of Felix. So.
I'm gonna ask you as well, like players must be quite like open to kind of doing work with the foundation, US players anyway, doing work with the foundation to kind of, you know,
yeah,
help, the yeah. sport grow, essentially.
For sure, for sure. I believe Sloan used to be an ambassador for the foundation before yeah. she started her own organization. Yeah,
yeah. That's the thing. That's what I had to say. I wonder if there's a conflict if they have their own foundations a bit, yeah, because a lot question. Of the players tend to have, as soon as they even
yeah.
just grow up a little bit, they tend to have their own foundation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just before we finish as well, actually, the Billie Jean King Cup, US have a very, very strong team. I really
who
like
was
the look
a, who
US
was
team.
On the US so team?
It's Jess Pegoon, obviously the top, well, she's number one American, Coco Gauff, Madison Keys, Taylor Townsend, and I want to say Danielle Please. Collins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very strong five there.
Yeah.
So, no, Kathy McNally.
No McNally, no Stevens, like a lot of players missed out, but those five, like that's a strong mm-hmm. team. So I think that's probably US are probably the favorites to win that, I think.
Oh, for sure. I mean, having all those people on the same team, that's yeah.
Yeah. And
I think definitely leaning in their favor.
Iga Świątek, she won't be playing for Poland because I think she said she's gonna be focused on the WTA finals instead. So
okay.
with her missing out, like that's even more kind of incentive for the USA to do quite well.
Yeah.
Wait, when's the BJK?
So I think mid-November.
And WTA finals?
In Glasgow. Yeah. So they literally, I think the Billie Jean King Cup finishes on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And the finals start on like the Tuesday or like basically a day or two later. Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be crazy. It? And the Billie Jean King Cup's happening in Glasgow, and obviously the finals are in like the States.
I saw that, and I was going to ask, it's going to be like, are we going? Or
yeah, what's happening there?
I wish, but yeah, for me,
even
anyway,
though bear in mind, Jordan, I do talk a lot about the BJK Cup. I'm just like, I don't know if it's worth having it. But here I was.
Lucy wants it scrapped.
I really?
Yes.
How come? What's the reason?
Is respectfully it's irrelevant.
Respectfully.
Yes, before people come at me, respectfully it's irrelevant. The thing is, I feel like a lot of people say, yeah, I like it because it's something different from what we normally have as a team thing. And then when right. you ask them, okay, but yeah, so when's the last time you watched it or you kept up with the scores? It's quiet. Or even when you watch the matches, the stadiums are empty as hell.
It's
true. Like, do you actually you like the idea of it, but you yourself are interested in it, so why do we have it? These I feel like the time that we put in and the money and the resources are being put into that tournament can be put either to another tournament or for players to rest, because then another yeah. thing that we speak about is just, you know, the calendar being too long. Like, we had a discussion with our followers on IG not too long ago where we're like, you know, around after the US Open is literally just win.
I mean, this season is all year long. Yeah. There is no break.
So yeah, either yeah. we move things around or we end it earlier or something. So for example, I suggested like we have a longer grass season and then obviously scrap up the BJ Cup, which replace a little bit longer for the grass season, and then have US Open a little bit later, then maybe one or two tournaments before the finals and be done. And then that's it. I don't know. Or yeah. maybe just no BJ Cup and then they rest during those times, or I don't know. But WTA, ATP, if you are interested in talking to me, let me know.
Lucy at blackspinglobal.com.
Yes, Lucy at blackspinglobal.com.
That's where to find her.
What about you, Jordan? What are your views on, like, yeah, the Billie Jean King and Davis Cup? Like, do you feel there's still a place for them, like, in the calendar?
I honestly don't, because where do you put it in the middle of the year? I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't know where. I mean, it's already jam-packed. And if I was a player, just having that mentality, there's no way at the end of the year, you know, with the WTA finals on top of everything, that I'm going to want to play something like that. I've been playing all year, you know?
Yeah, and, no, it's true.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So
and
I mean,
Glasgow to Texas is far. So I really don't know how they're going to do
different
that.
Different continent, different times
and different weather. Like, it's going to be freezing in Glasgow, then they're going to get to hot as hell place like Texas.
No. I know. But I do think at that time it'll be okay. It won't be too hot in Texas. So
okay.
Yeah, it should be cooled down. Thinking about when I used to live there in Waco, so not too far.
Yeah. For someone who went to Scotland before, believe me, Scotland is bloody cold. It is.
Yeah.
So good luck to them.
It is going
to
be.
Good luck to them.
Indeed. Especially for like Goff and Pegula, because they're playing doubles and singles. Like, that's a lot of tennis.
And Goff right now is in San Diego playing.
Exactly. And Pegula, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Keys, like, they're all there. So yeah, the calendar is way too long.
It's too long.
At the same time, as a fan, I do enjoy it. But I know for the players it's tough. Like, so
For sure. I mean, like, you don't need the matches at the end of the year. You really don't. It's your time to, it's your opportunity to take some rest and get ready for Australia.
A lot of other sports, they have long breaks. Football, they have their breaks.
Off-season, yeah.
You know, like, basketball have their breaks. NFL, rightfully so, have their breaks. And it's like with tennis. And the thing is with tennis, if you think about it, it's a sport where you're in different places, different time zones.
Yeah,
like, I mean, Tiafoe, for instance, he was saying that in Japan at the beginning it was hard for him because the time difference just like put him off and he was really tired. All of these things. And you're still getting like a 2-week break like during the year. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. The only people who rested well this year, I don't even know if I should say this, but they're the Russian players because they did not play the last season. They had their holiday. That's which I said at the beginning. I was like, you know what? Wimbledon don't understand that they basically saved these players. They didn't have to pay crazy rent in London when they're playing. They didn't have to pay for crazy flights. They have to pay, you know, nothing. And they rested their muscles. So, which served them well because Medvedev made it, all the way to the finals or semifinals at the last tournament with Djokovic. I can't remember, but
yeah.
It's great points. But yeah, we'll see if the ATP and WTA listen to us.
Yeah, they listen to me. Come on, guys.
Yeah, right. Great. I think they might, honestly. We'll see.
They should. I'm gonna post at them, be like, WTA ATP, holler at me.
They do follow on Twitter, just say that Insta. So
they're listening.
They're listening. They're listening. It's funny because it's actually so funny how, because Tamani once told me that some of the journalists, the big ones, some of them actually do listen to our pod. And whenever he says that, I'm like, shit, I know they're hearing my annoying self. And they're just like, what is this girl waffling about? Especially that I do come at them sometimes, rightfully so. But I just did it now. But back,
right?
But it's all right. It just comes out naturally. I'm sorry, guys. But it's all love. We all love the sport. We're all very emotionally attached to it.
Indeed. Yeah. It's a very nice way to end. But no, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate having you on. It's been great as well, like, hearing about all the stuff you've been doing.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for having me on.
To double check, what network is the TV show on, date and time, so the listeners can know for when it's back? Season two is out right now, correct?
Yes, season two is out right now, but you can watch season one on Netflix. All of that is there on Netflix. And I believe season two is coming on right after All American, which would be at 9 p.m. Pacific.
Okay. Fantastic.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Brilliant. Guys, there you have it. Sorry, Lucy, go on.
No, I'm just here saying that Netflix should just put it on Netflix UK. I don't understand.
It's definitely not on the UK's Netflix.
No.
Really?
Wow.
No. I mean, I know what to do for us to watch it in extremely legal way. Actually, is VPN legal?
I don't actually know.
I don't know.
If I pay for a VPN,
I'm
going to double check. And then see if I can cut this bit or include it.
I was going to say,
if VPN is available and legal to do.
If not, I'll record it on my phone and send it to you.
That's a little old school.
Yes.
No, I appreciate that. But yeah, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, wish you all the best and continued success in everything you're doing. So Yeah,
you guys too. You guys too. I see you guys everywhere. So it's so great to see it kind of exploding now.
Appreciate it. And you gave us like our first like stateside feature, like in Tennis Channel. So
really?
I have it there. It's still there in the corner next to my vinyl.
In the magazine. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Like, I'm so happy.
Big moment for us.
Yeah, so, it's also a big thing because Tennis Channel's magazine, the Tennis Magazine, is no longer going to be a thing.
No way.
Oh wow.
They just had their last issue. So
wow.
And I don't even know if it'll be a digital one either. So it's
not. What are they trying to do with a platform? Like,
it'll just be TV.
I really don't know, but I don't think they were making a great profit off the magazine anymore. Okay. So that's why they wanted to just let it go. But
yeah, print in general like isn't great. Like, that's globally. So I guess that's understandable, but so what about the website then?
The website will still be the same.
Okay.
And everything will still continue on there, but they're kind of going to figure it out if it will even go digital or not.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. So happy that you guys made it.
yes, exactly. Before the thing was extinct.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. But and again, thank you so much. What have you got planned now for like the weekend and stuff? Are you
this weekend actually not too much, but some of my friends are coming down, and actually my old coworker is in town from the Tennis Channel, so we're gonna go and maybe go bowling and I don't know, go do some other random things. Nice. But yeah.
But when was the last time you were on the court like playing?
I'm starting to play weekly now.
Nice.
So at least once a week, every Wednesday. That's been a huge improvement for me, because before
I guess now working on the show as well, you kind of need to make sure you're still there. Like,
that's the thing. That's the other thing too. I'm like, I gotta at least be able to move around for an hour, you know.
Well, that's really good. That's amazing.
Yeah. What about you guys? Are you guys playing at all?
I don't play anywhere near as much as I want to, but I would like to play more. Maybe next year I'll start again. But
I played during the summer a little bit.
Lucy invested in a new racket that I advised her on.
I said
wait, which one?
I don't even know. It was I can't remember, but I just sent him a bunch of different ones. And I was like, which one should I get?
You know what? You guys both need a Fury racket. Have you guys looked at their rackets at all?
No.
No.
It's a black owned tennis brand.
No way.
Oh. Yeah, I'm doing some work with them.
So what are they for?
Fury.
Fury. F-U-R-I.
F-U-R-I.
Should be able to.
I racket.
Let's. Do you see it on? On Instagram.
Yeah, I've got it up here now.
Fury Sport. Yeah.
Nice.
Fury Sports. Okay.
I just did their some of their marketing campaign.
Yeah, featured in GQ, New York Times, Complex, Elle.
So dope.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. Yeah.
No, yeah, definitely. I'll definitely be checking this out.
Okay.
Should I follow them from?
Do that. Definitely on IG.
Yeah.
I'll tell also, because I feel like you guys would really like him. His name is Eric. And I'm sure he would like to come on if you guys.
Oh, that'd be incredible. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
More content.
Yeah, they're doing some really cool things. So, and they're based in New York.
How did you link with them? Is that just through
crazy story, like one of those like one-off things? But I was at a photo shoot in Miami for Cole Haan, and it was like their summer collection, you know, and I was doing the tennis part of it. And there was another guy there, and we start talking, and he's like, well, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm involved in tennis as well. And he's like, wait, are you Jordan Sanford? And
you're known in these streets now, like
because the weird thing was, is, you know, at the time I was still working at Tennis Channel,
of course. Okay.
And I had one of the editors below me reach out to Fury and, you know, ask them if they would be interested in us like doing a write-up on them and all that. And he was like, oh my god, you're, you know, from Tennis Channel. And he was like, oh my god, this is crazy. And so that's how we really kind of connected.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Incredible.
I do love that. Like very organic. Like, yeah.
Yeah. At a Cole Haan photo shoot in Miami. Doesn't make any sense.
What are the chances? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, incredible.
Yeah.